Thank you for joining us. Today, we are going to continue the conversation with Dr. Mary Fay and Dr. Susan Frenaris and talk about how the art and science of teaching can be blended together seamlessly.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what we're really getting into as we've transitioned, I feel like the safe container or psychological safety was this transition piece from what we teach to how we teach. And I think a lot of this, how we teach, the art of teaching, I think it takes a lot of, guts. I think you have to be willing to try something new.
Absolutely.
I think you have to be, willing to set that safe container and share the art of your teaching at the very beginning on the first day of class. I even think it begins before the first day of class in your own reflection as a teacher, kind of getting yourself grounded and, intentional in what you're going to do. And I think when we think about continuing that art of teaching or that developing a safe container every day, every time you engage with a learner, whether it's in your office or in the classroom or in clinical, that it's a continuous process. And then I think it also, there's even an opportunity to extend your art of teaching at the end when you're doing a handoff and you're saying, all right, we completed this course and you've completed the outcomes and I'm very proud of you. And here's where you're going, and kind of give like a little bit of a preview as to where you're going in the next semester. And what are some concepts that'll be covered in the next semester? What maybe kind of skills or tools might be needed to get through the next semester? So I think just this art has to follow us through on a daily basis, but also on a bigger, helping students throughout the program.
Well, Michelle, you say that and it just made me think of, the continuum of care as nurses and working with a patient with a certain diagnosis. We know the continuum of care. We know possibly where they've come from. And as we think about meeting them at different points along that continuum, whether it's in the community, in the acute care setting, sending them off to home, we understand that trajectory a bit. Sometimes I don't think educators see that trajectory. They don't understand that they teach within a map. And many don't know where the learners are going to next. So I think sometimes that's part of the science that helps inform your art, is where do you live in that map, in the house? You're building a house and they're right along there with you. They're putting it together. Which room are you in and which doorway are they going through to get to the next room? And as educators, if we don't know where they've come from and where we're sending them, it becomes, it becomes a thing in and of itself, as opposed to part of a bigger picture,
part of the
development or the building of that complete nurse.
Right.
I love
right.
this analogy with the house. I also love this connection with the continuum of care and practice, and think about our emphasis in clinical practice on handoff reporting and bedside reports. So this past semester, I did a bedside handoff report basically in my classroom with the next semester. And so I invited the faculty in and we did a bedside handoff basically in
That's
the classroom
awesome.
And handing off the students. And, I've been teaching for about 13 years and I have to say, I could see a noticeable change in the transition from our spring semester to our summer. And when then they came back and told us about that experience with that transition, it made an impact on the students. So I love this analogy and connecting it both with our academia and practice.
And, think about when we were taught to do bedside report, one of the things I remembered that was recommended that we should say as a nurse is you're in good hands, right? When you're saying to the patient, here's Rachel, She'll be taking care of you today and you're in good hands. And like, talk about psychological safety. You're like, oh, right. It's just a nice way to start the shift. Yeah. And I think same with the semester. If you can partner with that next semester faculty and really be a team and present as a team and say, look, you're in good hands. Off you go.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting for you on the other side when you graduate. I think that can be powerful.
You know, guys, we're talking about people really changing the way they teach. And, you know, I want to tie this back to like identity that you brought up, Rachel. And when, if we are thinking about making a radical change in how we teach, there is an element of vulnerability in there. Michelle, you said something before that really made me think about this. And there is a lot of vulnerability and it takes courage to move away from the traditional way of teaching to some of these newer ideas that we're talking about. And I've been reading a lot of Brené Brown's books lately. I'm reading Dare to Lead right now, but she talks about vulnerability and courage. It takes a lot of courage to do this kind of stuff. Every act of courage is preceded by moments of vulnerability. And she defines vulnerability as uncertainty, risk, and emotional exposure. And I think when you're taking your identity as an educator and you're staking that on, I'm going to radically change the way I teach, that's scary. That's emotional exposure. That's vulnerability. But courage is always preceded by these moments of vulnerability. And so I'm saying all this just to say to educators, like, if it seems scary to make these kinds of changes, that's okay. Like, push on through the fear, because I promise you the payoffs are so worth it. And I think that's why I always loved simulation so much, is because, you know, we were sticking our necks out. We were trying something new and radically different. We didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but oh my God, the engagement of your learners. Like when you're really in there, putting your whole authentic self into a teaching experience with them, the payoff is tremendous, not just in the learning, but in the positive relationship you build with your learners, which is the same as building a therapeutic relationship with your patients.
Well, and if you mess it up, you're in there with them.
You're modeling fallibility.
Exactly. Right. Or if, or risking the chance that a student's going to ask you a question you can't quite articulate the answer to. Well, the patient's going to do the same thing someday. And so what, how do we reconcile that? You know, I just think the fact that, we give our learners a chance to see us as infallible or fallible, not infallible, fallible. We're human, and risking that in front of them and being okay with it says a lot about you as a person and an educator. Right. They, you know, I it's an adventure, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. And our ability to be okay in that space with our learners to say, yeah, that didn't work. I don't know. I love it.
Well, it almost makes me think like trust goes both ways.
Exactly.
Like we want them to trust us. I need to trust them too. That if I'm not perfect, they won't think anything less of me because of
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it goes back. There's so many good Brené Brown snippets you put in here about this, but it goes back to when she talks about armoring up. Humans tend to armor up. We do that in academia as educators, right? We get defensive, or we don't want to be seen as valuable. So we armor up. And she talks about, you know, strong back, soft front, wild heart. I think that could be a great image of an educator, grounded, but approachable, transparent, and willing to lean into the vulnerability of cutting edge science and art of teaching. I think that brings us to a really great place to try to combine the two. So, you know, we talked about the science, we segued into the art. And I'd like us to think about how do we combine the science and the art when we teach? And Sue, you have shared with us before this really great analogy of the Mobius strip, which I had never heard of and went to Google right away. So you taught me something new. And I'm really curious to hear your take on the Mobius strip and if you could share it with our learners and how it might relate to combining the science and art of teaching.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny because the first time I heard about the Mobius strip was I was at a conference. It was a Sigma Theta Tau conference. And the speaker, the dialogue on the table at the time was science versus art of nursing, believe it or not. They were debating the discipline. And she used a Mobius strip to connect both of them, because her point was that there really isn't a division. It isn't one or the other, it's both, and they inform each other. So she created a Mobius strip for it. And I actually brought one with.
Oh, you're so good.
I know. So all it is you take a sheet of paper, a strip of paper, and you know, if you wanted to make a circle like this, you know, people would say one side could be the art and the other side could be the science, but you can't touch all faces of this circle without going over the edge. I can't get from the outside to the inside without going over the edge. So Mobius strip is a geometric figure that is boundaryless and it's edgeless. And when you turn it, you can run your finger across all sides of it without ever going over the edge. And so one side was the art and the other side was the science. And it was just so captivating to me that I held on to this. And this has been probably, I would say, at least a good 20, 25 years ago that this dialogue ensued in the discipline of nursing as a science and an art. So for me, I've held on to this and used it in many ways, even in teaching learners. They've walked into my classrooms where there have been Mobius strips sitting on their chair to talk about, you know, introduction to nursing. Is it an art or is it a science? And really gets them thinking about this wonderful discipline they're engaging in, developing their knowledge on, as well as their skills. And so anyway, that's what brings it together for me, because I think when you use the science in a way that informs you, how you see it, you also are delivering it and enveloping an art in the way in which you're going to relay that to others. And so in nursing one way and education another. So,
yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, to put this in practical terms, I think of like a science-based educational interventions, like frequent low-stakes quizzes. We know that frequent low-stakes quizzes embedded across a course can really help your learners retain knowledge as they're constantly retrieving. And so that's sort of a science-based thing. How I present that to my students is the art. You know, you can present it to your students as, you're going to get quizzed every week in class because we want to see what you know. Or you can say, look, guys, we're going to do these frequent low stakes quizzes. And here's why. Because there's science that shows us that every time you go into your long-term memory and retrieve knowledge and surface it again, it strengthens those connections. So by doing these low stakes quizzes every week, I'm actually going to help you retain knowledge so that when you get to the test, you're going to do better on the test. Like, that is a psychologically safe way, art, to present a science-based intervention that you're going to be doing in your classroom. And that's really the blending. It's using the techniques, but partnering with your learner so that they understand why, what's the benefit of this.
That is great. Oh, I just want to thank you both. You two truly are the educators' educators. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and insights. It's always a blessing to get a chance to spend time with you and hear your insights. So thanks.
Thank you for inviting us. It's our privilege and our pleasure.
Really, our pleasure, guys.
So now, and also thank you both. And now we wanted to do the rapid fire question. So, which is always a real treat for Rachel and I, because we often can fill our cups by hearing your responses, especially around your favorite books, what you're reading now. We start making a list for ourselves. So we're gonna ask, Rachel, we'll ask one question and get responses from both Mary and Sue. What do you think?
I think that's great. Are you both ready? Ready to go there?
Sure, go.
All right. So if you were to write a memoir, what would you title the book?
Mary first or Sue first?
Mary first.
Okay. I would title the book, All Who Wander Are Not Lost.
Beautiful.
Well, you guys know my passion. I would write Cherry Ames Revisited.
We That's do awesome. Know this.
Oh, awesome.
That is awesome. What is on the top of your reading list right now for fun, Mary?
You know, I hate to admit this, but it's Brené Brown's Dare to Lead. That's fun to me.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And Mary, you know, it's funny because I have started to read that one as well. Mm. It's on, but I vacillate between that and the fiction. The Dutch House is the one I'm trying to get through right now.
Oh, that was great. I enjoyed that book.
Yeah.
Yes. And Brené Brown's books are on the, you know, I have a pile of them. I know Rachel does too. And they're awesome to listen on Audible too, because to hear her speak about vulnerability and shame and some of the other themes, to hear it come through her voice even adds a little bit extra authenticity, I think. So
agreed.
What is your favorite quote?
Oh, for me, that's an easy one. It is, none of us is as smart as all of us.
Good one.
Mine is, life is a journey, not a destination.
Good.
Yeah.
And last question is, if you could have dinner with one person, dead or alive, who would it be?
You know, this was a tough one, but I ended up with my dad, who is no longer with us, who was not a well-educated person, but was incredibly wise.
I love that. So many folks who come on share, it's a family member oftentimes.
Oh, interesting.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually wouldn't be one person. It would have been a couple. It would have been my parents, both of them, who are no longer alive. Just be curious to see their impression of the world today and us in it. Anyway, yeah.
Well, thank you, both Mary and Sue, and both of you would be invited to my dinner because every time I have a conversation with you both, it is such a gift, and I always walk away feeling just more inspired every time. So thank you both.
Thank you guys for having us. I always enjoy spending time with you guys too.
Absolutely. Yep. Ditto that.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us on this episode of NLN Nursing Edge Unscripted Surface. We hope you join us next time. Until then, remember, whether your water is calm or choppy, stay connected, get vulnerable, and dare to go beneath the surface.